around and he realized how people are really, you know, not so happy in their life, not contented in their life. And so we need to be asking ourselves, are we really contented where we are in our lives? I'm not saying that, you know, it's not something about, you know, it's not be contented with what you have, never with what you are, right? Sometimes, you know, I'm not talking about aspirations, I'm not talking about ambitions, because, you know, Paul says, you know, I want to attain. That is a different thing, right? I want to attain. I want to be like Christ, right? I aspire. That's totally different thing, right? We have desires that we want to be like Christ. I want to do a lot of things for Christ. I want to get myself engaged in a lot of things. That's a different altogether, right? But be content with what you have. I was looking at the etymology of the particular word, content. Very interesting, the word content comes from the Latin word contentus, right? It means it's satisfied. And then it, when you look at the Latin word in the word form, it means to hold on, to hold in. In other words, to contain. It is not just satisfied, it's to hold on and to contain within. That is contentment. In other words, it is not influenced, my joy and satisfaction is not influenced by the external thing. It is inside me. I'm just holding on, right? And it is contained within. And so, am I content with the content of my heart? And so, Paul is talking about the passage which we will look at today, right? And by saying, you know, that as Christians today, are we able to say that I am, if I look at the earlier word, that I'm content with the content of my heart? The content of my heart is Jesus Christ. If we are Christians today and we confess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, right? Are we content? Are we able to say, I'm just holding on, right, with the content of my heart? It's not external, as I said, in the Latin word, right, in the Greek word, but what is inside me? We sung the song, Christ is my life, wonderful to sing, right, with great voices, but are we able to see? I think that's the important thing in Christian life. These are fundamentals, right? If I have Christ in me, if I have a strong walk relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and if I love Him and I see Him as my Lord and Savior, right? Let me say, you know, I'll be content with the content of my heart. And so that's how the word comes into in the Greek. Like the psalmist, right? I think Psalm 23 verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's easy. We memorize this verse, right? We say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. We can just keep on saying these words, wonderful, powerful words. But are we able to say like the psalmist? David is writing this beautiful song by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need in my life. In other words, in NIV, he says, I lack nothing. Christ is all sufficient in my life, and that's what I need. Right? He leads me even beside still waters. Right? He brings me in the path of righteousness. Even though I walk through the valley of darkness, you know, God even brings me in the path of difficulties and challenges. And Paul says, you know, so David says, I fear no evil. You know why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. And that's what I need. Nothing can change the content in my heart. Not the streams of river, the joy, right? But what is Christ in me? You know, sometimes it's sad to see, you know, Christians, sometimes when you look at our prayers today, right, we ask for more blessings. We ask for more. Because you know why? One of the reasons is because we live in a very discontented world. We live in a world where it is believed the grass is greener on the other side. Right? We live in a world which always thinks that, you know, it's better to get more. it's better to have much more in our life. Sometimes, you know, I'm not saying that I'm, sometimes, you know, I was just trying to think of something, and many times I tell myself, you know, I have all the things. So when I go to Best Buy, that's one of my favorite hangout places, and Staples, right? But I won't tell you where I hang out. I'll always tell myself I have all the gadgets that I need. I'll go and see, but finally when I come out with something. You know, when I go and see, I have, and finally I say, maybe this would be good if I have. I will have something similar, but I see this is much more better. Then I come back and I realize, you know, looks like I'm not contented, right? And I think it's important for us. And as the passage that we will be studying today, it's a passage, I think we will learn about contentment from this man, great man, Paul, right? And can you imagine, Paul is in prison when he was writing this particular letter to the church in Philippi, and he is in a dungeon. He's chained to a person who was a Roman soldier. And when Paul wrote, some of the scholars say that when Paul wrote this particular manuscript, right, he didn't have much light. He was deep inside in a dungeon. And it's just a ray of light that was just coming into. And so with that kind of a thing, and Paul wrote in the manuscript, and interestingly, his writings was much more larger because he was not able to see what he was writing. But even then, Paul was writing by saying these powerful words, right? And he was encouraging the church. Can you imagine? And in the prison, Paul was writing this joyful letter. It's an epistle of joy, right? Many of us would know it's an epistle that actually promotes joy and all that. And so he's writing and he's sharing and thanking them and teaching them. Interesting, whenever Paul writes a letter of thanks, he's also teaching them. When you read Paul's writing, you'll also tend to learn that. He's teaching them about contentment. It's teaching them how to be, just be satisfied with who Christ is in their life. And so we will look at this particular word and try to see what Paul is trying to teach us from this particular passage. Firstly, you know, Paul is saying, be contented wherever you are. Right? He says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be contented in whatever the situation. In other words, he says, you know, I'm can you imagine, you know, I've worked in prison when I was in the U.S. and also in Singapore. I was actually working in the medium security prison in Dayton, Ohio. And every time I meet a prisoner, they will always say, you know, I want to be out. Pray for me, right? I want to be out. I don't want to be here. But can you imagine, Paul is writing a letter from a prison. By the way, the prison back in Dayton, Ohio is like a retreat center. Sometimes I envy the food they eat because they have steak and ice cream and all that stuff. And a guy who was working, having simple food. And they have good food, they have basketball court, you know, everything inside, and good facilities. And sometimes I envy the prisoners, right? And but Paul is in a different place. It was a dungeon, and he was saying, I'm contented wherever I am. Paul could have easily said, he could have complained to God, like what Dr. Huckle Choi was preaching last Sunday. He could have complained to God in his prayer by saying, Lord, I'm doing this for you. You know, I've been a great apostle for you. I've been encouraging the churches. I've been a great instrument. And the church needs me. The dungeon doesn't need me. I shouldn't be here because, you know, I'm valuable, Lord. I want to be an instrument of your blessing. I want to be released. I think Paul could have, you know, wrote a letter of complaint and say, you know, pray for me because, you know, I want to be a blessing. It's wonderful to be a blessing. But Paul is saying in his letter, you know, I know to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in because I know I'm in the plan of God and I know I'm in the will of God. I know that I'm living a life according to God's purposes, God's plan. And so wherever the Lord leads me, even though I walk through the valley of darkness, like David says, Lord, I fear no evil. David doesn't say, Lord, take me out of darkness. I don't fear, because even in my darkness, in the darkest moment of my life, Lord, you are there. And that's what Paul is saying. You know, whatever circumstances, I learn to be content. Very interesting word Paul is using here. He says it's not just something magical, but he says, I learn to be content. Right? He's learning to be content. And so, Christian, like sometimes we get the impression, I said, oh, if I'm in Christ, you know, everything is okay. But I think we need to be learning how to depend on God, how to trust God, how to, you know, just lean on into His words and finding joy. And Paul learned, right? Paul was learning. It was not something that he just got magically, my friend. He was learning. He was building up the faith. He was just, you know, enjoying the presence of God, even in the darkest moment of his life. It's something that we learn, right? We experience, and we want to be people, to be students of God's word. Let's move on, right? And Paul continues by saying, if you want to see the Paul's suffering, it's very interesting. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about the way he was suffering. That was the kind of circumstances that what Paul was going through. Difficulties, struggles, he was just beaten by the rod. You know, he was thrown into the sea and all that kind of a thing. But in whatever circumstances, right, he says, I know, as I said, I know the content of my heart. It's Jesus Christ. And secondly, he uses the word, right, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Many times we misuse this word, right? Out of context. Many Christians will always say, I can do all things. Right? But Paul is actually talking about his suffering. Even though I'm going through all these circumstances, I'm able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? And so we learn something. He says, I can do, right? I can bear everything. I can perform any duty, right? I'm willing to face any struggles, challenges, adversaries. Because you know why? Because it is God who strengthens me. It is God who strengthens me. I think that's what he's trying to say. And how does God strengthen us today? Thank God we have the Holy Spirit with us, right? And do we know that, you know, whether we have the Holy Spirit in us? And how does God strengthen us today? It is the Word of God, right? And how does God strengthen us today? By the promises of God. And that's why if you, every time you also hear, when you read, go to a church, they always say, you know, you need the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God, because we find strength in God's Word. We find strength when we listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, you know, contentment comes. I can do all these things. I'm willing to go through all these struggles and pain, difficulties and challenges in my life, even if I'm in my prison, because I'm in doing God's will. And I know that God will give me the strength, and he's strengthening me by being with me in him. Thirdly, I think Paul is also saying, you know, interestingly, Paul says, you know, it is also encouraged by God's people. Do you know something? Your words, your encouragement can bring contentment to the heart of many people. That's what Paul is saying, you know. You can be a blessing, and you should be a blessing to others. If you read from verses 13 onwards, and this is what he says. You know, Paul says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me an aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire of gifts, and Paul was very careful, right? not because he just wanted their gifts. It's wonderful to be gifts, right? But then he says, I desire that you will be credited to your account. I've received full payment and I've more than I have. I'm amply supplied. Not that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. And they are fragrant, offering an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. You know, it very interesting. This church was willing to share, was able to partner with Paul. And so Paul says, you know, it not because, you know, I need, but I thank you because your gift was wonderful. And you helped me several times, right? And you also threaded through Epaphroditus who came to aid me in my ministry. And can you imagine, Paul says, not only thank you. And you know what he says in verse 14? In the last word, he says, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice. You know what? Pleasing to God. What we do for others, my friend, we might think that we are doing for them. But Paul says, it's what you do brings joy to God. It's a sweet fragrance, pleasing to God. And so I think contentment is encouraged by God's people. You can bring joy, not only to the life of people, but our deeds, you know, our things that we do. It becomes a blessing, a sweet fragrance in the sight of God. Lastly, you know, let me, as you know, I was looking at this, you know, contentment is leaning on the promises of God. And so in verse 19, Paul says, and my God will supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. He says, you know, my God will supply all your needs according to the riches in glory. In other words, God is able because of who he is, who he is in our lives, my friend. And that's the kind of God that we have. So we can always draw strength from God. In difficult times of our life, when we are alone, we can experience the presence of God. You know, in joyful moment, we will have a heart of gratitude, knowing that, you know, it's God who brought us with all these blessings in our life. I was reading a story about John Wesley, you know, the founder of Methodism. And when he was 21 years old, he went to Oxford University, right? And he came from a Christian home, and he was gifted. You know, he was a good-looking guy, John Wesley, and he came from a Christian home, and he was smart. So one day, what was happening? But he was, you know, from UK. You know, he was a bit snobbish, right? So some kind of sarcasm was also found in him. And so one day, I think he went and he met a potter who was carrying his bag. So he was talking to the potter who was carrying the load, and he discovered that this poor potter had only one coat, and he lived in a very poor place or environment. So John Wesley wanted to make fun of him, right? Because he was coming from, he was going to this Oxford University, a prestigious place to study, a Christian home. He had the good looks that, you know, people wanted in those days. So he wanted to make fun of him, and this man was sharing the testimony of his life to this young John Wesley. And so John Wesley, being so immature, right, he joked with the man, and he says, you know, what else are you thankful to God for? Can you name other things that you are, you know, thankful to God for? It was with a sense of sarcasm, because this man is poor. He doesn't have even more than one coat. He's carrying my bag. So he wanted to just make fun, you know, and said, you know, what else can you thank God for? And these were the man's answer. He said, I thank him that he has given me a life and being, a heart to love him. And he said, and above all, a constant desire to serve him. A heart to love him, a constant desire to serve him. Those words of this poor potter changed the heart of John Wesley. And he started looking at life differently. Can you imagine? That man, that poor potter, was carrying the bags of John Wesley, was able to bring a heart kind, warming kind of an experience in the life of John Wesley. And so, I think, and so Paul is reminding, and my God, right? My God will supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. He's saying, he's talking about the riches of God. You know, God is so rich. He has everything, right? There's, he has all the things that we need in life. You do not need to go to any other place, because this world is not going to satisfy us. And God has all the riches that we want in life, more than what we want, my friend. God is able to provide. And that's why Paul writes, right, in certain epistles, you realize he talks about, you know, Christ is sufficient for our life. It's enough. It's too much for our life. And that's what we need. We need just Christ and Christ alone. In Ephesians 2:4, he talks about the richness of his grace. And then, you know, in Psalm, the writer in Psalms 104, verse 24, he talks about the richness of God's goodness. And God, my God, will supply all your needs according to his riches, his glory in Christ Jesus. In Christ's name, you know, he says, God will meet us. God will meet us. Let me share with you this story, and I'm done. It's about a story which I read some time ago. It's about this rich man from an article called Today in the Word. Right? Rich man by the name of William Randolph. He had a great interest. He had a great hobby of collecting fortune, right? Art pieces. And so he was just spending a lot of his money just collecting art pieces. So, and so wherever certain arts of great value was there, he wanted to collect them. And one day what happened, I think Randolph was just sitting in his room and he was reading about a valuable art. And he said, you know, I need to get that, whatever the amount. Because I really need to get that, you know, because I read about this particular valuable art. So he called a guy and he said, you know, he called an agent and said, you know, I want you to go and find out where this is and get it for me. How much? I'm not bothered, right? I wanted to get it. So this agent traveled to distant places, just searching. And finally came back, right? To the surprise, he came back. And Randolph asked him, you know, so did you find the art that I'm just looking for, because I really need it? And this man said, you know, sir, I found it. I found it in your own warehouse. Okay? You are keeping it, but unfortunately, you're not aware of it. You have it in your own warehouse. I need not know, I need not go and look around for that. You have it in you, but you're still looking around. Can you imagine? Many Christians are like that. We have Jesus in us. And God is able to meet everything in our lives, my friend, in whatever situations we are. But we still look around. We go certain places because we are dissatisfied. We have Jesus in our life. And we say, in all my life is Christ. Do we truly mean what we sing, my friend? That Christ is enough for my life. Hallelujah. That's how we sing. We look around, right? Because we're discontented. We're discontented because that's the world. The grass is greener on the other side. The more. You know, Jesus is the most precious gift that you and I need. And if I have him, let me tell you, you have it all. You need not search anywhere. He gives you the strength to face your everyday challenges and difficulties, my friend. You can lean on and to God because his promises are perfect, are unquestionable. Are you still searching? Let's pray. Can you imagine Paul was in a dungeon with no light? He doesn't know his future. His life could be soon gone. Paul could have easily complained to God, "Lord, why? Lord, I've been a great servant of yours. You know, I've left everything for you. I've given my life. Why did you, Lord, allow this to happen in my life?" But instead, Paul, in that dungeon, was able to write a letter of joy, an epistle of joy. You know why? Because he knew he had the treasure of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want. That's what I want. And that's what that's important for me. Dear friends, I think, why do we still need to go and search around for things to just to fill us? But if we are filled with Jesus Christ, as Paul says, "I know to have plenty. I know to be in need. I know." Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Sometimes, oh God, our lives are not so contented, Father. Many a times, oh God, when we come to you for prayer, there are so many requests as if, oh God, Christ is not sufficient. We realize, oh God, that Adam and Eve were tempted by Satan. And Satan was saying, you know, "You can have more. You can be like God." And Satan created the discontent. Even though they had the fellowship with God, the Almighty, Satan was trying to create a discontent. And that made them fall into sin. Many a times, oh God, when we look around the world, oh Lord, we feel discontented with our lives. But we pray, God, that you will help us to be contented with what Jesus has done in our lives. The love. And help us, oh Lord, to do the things that he wants us to do. Like the church in Philippi, they were a blessing to others. They were able to share their blessings and to bring joy. And so, Lord, help us, oh Lord, to not to search for treasures, because we know the treasure that's in us, and that's Jesus Christ. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.